Hallelujah. Amen. Behold, he comes. Well, thank God that he is doing a new thing in our lives. Blessed be his holy name forever. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We are nobodies and we are nothing without you. But in you, Father, we have been made worthy. We've been granted access. Your glory is revealed. You strengthen us in our inner man. You give to us giftings and abilities to fulfill your mandate. When we think, oh God, about mighty men like Moses that you use, who said, I can't speak. And Jeremiah, I can't speak, I'm just a little kid. Over and over again, you've picked men and women that are totally unqualified and you qualify them. And we rely not on our ability tonight, but on yours. When we think, oh God, that the disciples, every single one of them, bar none, denied you in one form or the other, didn't believe, but it was this same bunch that you spent 3+ years with, even when they faltered, you looked at them, but it was not their ability that you were looking at. It was your ability in them. So, Lord, oh God, we rely on you today. We look not unto ourselves. We look unto you, the author and finisher of faith. Even the faith that we have, it's not even ours. It's yours. Your unfailing faith. And Lord, oh God, tonight, we surrender all to you. And we say, Father, have your way. Be magnified in your people. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. What a night we had last night. God used Daniel mightily. He has used all of our speakers leading to this moment. And God is doing something. I do not believe that we are living in the realm of status quo. I really truly believe that God has ordained a major shift. We are not able to recognize it because it is not where we've been as of yet. And the interesting thing about it is that when we are in it, we will not know that we're in it. It reminds me of when I got saved from a life that was absolutely crooked, wicked. God changed my life, and I did not know that had changed. Because the new life was my new normal. It was others that were saying, "You've changed." And what do you mean I've changed? It was a total shift. And I do believe that that's what's going to happen to us as God's people. It'll be a total shift. A total shift in the sense that you'll be walking in faith and it's like normal. Other people are saying, "Wow." Years ago, I was in San Bernardino, California. And I didn't like driving when it rained. I just didn't like driving when it rained. And I was in San Bernardino, and I was going to go to Costa Mesa in Orange County. That's where my school was. And it was pouring. And I just walked to the window, and I said, "Rain, stop." Walked away. And the daughter of my U.S. mother screamed. I was startled. "What? You just told the rain to stop and it just stopped like that." Oh. It was not that I was by faith trying to stop the rain. Like, okay, I got to stop the rain. It was just a matter of fact. Do you understand? Just a matter of fact. So matter of fact that while it was happening, I didn't know it was happening. It was just like, that's how it's supposed to be. Like breathing in and breathing out. God has a plan and a purpose for us as His church, as His body. And I do believe that if we trust Him, we are going to see incredible things happen. Just as a matter of fact. Not because we're trying to force anything to happen. Just, oh yeah. We started out the last time I was speaking to us, addressing the importance of the Word of God and how the Word of God tells us to meditate on His Word, how the Word of God tells us that this is how the people who meditate on His Word, people who are focused on the things of God, how it is that they are planted by the rivers of water. So in Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3, he says, since we are not following the ways of the world, but our delight is in the Lord, and we do meditate on the Word of God day and night, verse 3 says, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Rivers of water. planted by the rivers of water. In Jeremiah 17, taking it from about verse 9, it talks about the wickedness of the heart. And the wickedness of the heart, he addresses, because he's addressing the aspect of meditating on the Word of God. In other words, he's saying to us, don't leave your heart like a vacuum. It's going to be filled by something. If you don't fill it with the Word of God, I want you to know that the heart is desperately wicked and you cannot understand it. So don't go that route. Go the route of filling yourself with the Word of God. And it goes on and it says to us in verse 10, I'm not restating everything because we've already gone through that. And if I start going through those passages in detail again, we'll not move further. He says, the Lord searches the heart. He tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. 11. It says, as a partridge seated in the eggs and hatched them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right, not by the word of the Lord, the spoken word, the prophetic declarations. He says that person is going to leave them in the midst of the days and at his end shall be a fool, a person who is like he doesn't know God. Oh, watch this now. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Wow. A glorious high throne. A glorious high throne from the beginning is a place of our sanctuary. From the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, God said. So God talks about the beginning. He's talking about the Word. The presence of the Word. And he says, a glorious high throne from the beginning. From the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. The place of our sanctuary, the place of our protection. There is the high and exalted throne of God, who is the Word. And because this is so, certain things become the reality of the believer. Let's go back to verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Why? Because he's the Word. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth forth her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. In other words, whatever it is that's happening around its world is not determining how it exists. Its existence is in the fact that it's planted in the waters by the rivers. Now, we go further. Now, we've seen that two things are true so far. We've been planted by the waters because of the presence of the Word of God. Now we come to Psalm 92. This is where we stopped last time. Psalm 92, I'll take it quickly from verse 9. I'll read through real quickly, and then we'll move further. It says, "For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered." 10. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. 12. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And watch this now. Watch this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Wow. So two things. He's flourishing like a palm tree and like the cedar in Lebanon. The palm tree, what is it about the palm tree? Some other time we'll spend some time discussing that subject. The palm tree handles storms. There's some palm trees that can bend all the way to the ground and stay like that throughout the storm. And when the wind is lopsided or gone down, it just comes back up. Now that is the child of God. No matter what happens, there's resilience. And if we are going to be partners with God, because we are partners by the word, there is resilience. We bounce back. You don't give up your life and think that it's the end of it because of whatever it is that's happening right now. No. Whatever is happening is happening. But you're not defining your life based on whatever it is that's happening. You're defining yourself by the one that you're looking at, the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus. Hallelujah. Then watch this. 13. Those that be planted, and this is where we want to go. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those that be planted in the house of our Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. All this while, the word of God has been telling us about being planted by the rivers. Well, then it goes on and talks about the throne of God. But then we find out that from the throne of God comes this river. Hallelujah. The river of God comes from the throne of God. But the word of God continues now and says to us that we are planted, those that are planted in the house of the Lord. In essence, God is saying to us that being planted in the rivers is being planted in the house. And the agenda of the enemy is to make certain that the love of the house of God is not in us. That the pursuit for the house of God, being planted in the house of God, that is not part of our lives, that we discourage from doing that. And part of this last move of the enemy with the lockdowns and shutdowns is just about that. It's just about that. To discourage that so that people are not rooted and grounded. But the word of God says something to us. The man who is after God's heart, David, says to us in Psalm 27, talking about being planted, talking about being focused on the things of God. In Psalm 27, beginning to read from verse 4, Actually, let me take it from verse 1. Why not? But verse 4 through 6 is what I want. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The word of God is the light of God. The word of God is the word that brings us salvation. He says, whom shall I fear? When the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Notice, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me. In other words, they came upon him. But it says that that does not mean that they overcame him. Hallelujah. The Lord gave us a word very early. He said that our bodies were not to be conduits suitable for the multiplication and production of viruses. And I remember maybe about 4, 5, maybe 6 weeks ago, I said, if you check right here, there's a good chance that so many people have their antibodies already. And why? Because it doesn't matter whether COVID-19 comes upon you. The word is that your body is not going to be conducive for the production and multiplication, so that the mass of whatever is not explosive, so that you are sick like a dog. Doesn't matter. So when the enemy comes, they will stumble and fall. Whatever that enemy is, they may come upon you, but they will not overcome you. Hallelujah. He says, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Why? Because God has not given to you the spirit of fear. He says, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'll be confident in this fact. Verse 4. This is where it gets really good. One thing have I desired. One thing. He didn't say two. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. The one thing, he said, I'm going to seek after it. In other words, this is going to be an intentional focus. I'm going to seek after this. What are you going to seek after? That I may dwell or be planted in the house of the Lord all of my days. All the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's what I'm going to do. I'm going to inquire in his temple. I want to be in the house of God. I want to be planted in the house of God. This is the one thing I need to do. If I'm going to be an overcomer, I'm going to be an overcomer because I am at the altar holding on to the horns of the altar. David says, this is where your security is. Be planted in the house of God. And in that, you're going to flourish even in your old age. You're going to flourish. You're going to prosper. How is this going to happen for us? It's going to happen because we allow ourselves to be planted by God in his house. Planted by God in his house. Because it is His house, which is his temple, and it is this temple that he abides in, and that he's going to work through. Hear that? Which means, note that statement, inquire in his temple. In other words, in his temple, this one, but also this one. When you want to ask questions, when you want to talk with God, you talk with him and he talks back to you. When you have questions, you ask. You deliberate through things. And God will speak to you about what you need to do and how you need to do it. When you need to do certain things, when you need to back off from certain things. And so by obeying the word of God, and that's one of the things we try to establish through all of this, by obeying the instruction of the Lord, being obedient to the word of God, you follow through in the wisdom of God to see the fulfillment of God's purpose. Verse 5 goes on and says to us, for in the time of trouble, because you are planted in his house. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. May I say this to you? And to everyone listening right now, the worst thing you can do for yourself is to neglect the assembling together of the saints, especially during this end of the end times. When that door is open, you need to be finding yourself in the house of God. Because in the time of trouble, when you are rooted and grounded in that secret place of the Most High God, you will know protection. Verse 6, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. The enemies round about me. I want you to notice that. It didn't say the enemies were not going to be around. But in spite of the fact that the enemies are around, my head is lifted up. My head is not buried down in shame. My head is lifted up. In spite of all the enemies round about me, therefore will I offer, therefore will I offer, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Watch this. You are in the house of God. There are enemies, but you are busy singing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing praises unto the Lord. Why? Because you are not dwelling on what the circumstances are. You're dwelling on whom it is that you are worshiping. It is the Lord. That's why I'm here. And I bring him the sacrifices of joy. Now, what does that ultimately mean? When I'm assembled unto God and I'm magnifying him joyfully. Psalm 67 says this. Because of that assembling and that worshiping of God, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. Not there. Verse 5. Praise God. It says, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Watch that now. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. And then it says, then shall the earth yield high increase. Well, that's flourishing. That's fruitfulness. But it's happening because you are praising God. Well, why are you praising God? Because you are part of the assembly. Hallelujah. If we are going to be partnering with God, we're going to be partnering with Him in worship, in adoration, partnering with the angels on high who are worshiping. Hallelujah. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, earth and heaven joined together in praise, in worship. He says, when we begin to praise God, the earth will yield. It will yield her increase. It will release its increase unto us. And God, even our own God, shall bless us. Even our own God shall bless us. Why? Because we are yielding unto Him our praise. We are yielding unto Him our worship. And verse 7 says this, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Praise God. Why? Because we planted in the house of the Lord. And in that planting, the word of God says, enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving, and to His courts with what? Praise. The word of God is very clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord flourish, even in His courts. Hallelujah. Well, not only is God going to cause the earth to yield its increase, because we are connected, and I'm going to come closer to that in just a moment. Psalm 85, beginning to read from verse 8, goes on to tell us more about this increase. He says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. Why? Because I'm inquiring in His house. Is that what we talked about just a moment ago? This one thing I do, I'm going to inquire in the house of the Lord. And because I'm inquiring, it says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. But let them not turn again too fully. Next verse says, surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. That glory may dwell in our land. That glory may dwell in our land. And when the glory of God dwells in our land, the earth yields its increase. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And one of the things we're going to pray about is that God's glory will rest upon our land. Praise God. The land out there and the land in here. Next verse. Mercy and truth are meet together. You got to have those two things, mercy and truth. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, love this. Verse 11. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Wow. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Oh. What do you mean, Lord? Truth shall spring out of the earth. Jesus, our Lord, says, He says, if you continue in My word, then you shall know the truth. The truth is the word of God. It is the word of God that brought about the manifestation of everything. Please, please hear what I'm about to say to you right now. I know it's going to sound a little bit crazy, but just bear If I say anything, it's based on what I know and I've experienced in God. You've heard me tell this story about the driving on an empty gas tank for a whole week, back and forth between Winnipeg and Otterburn. Well, you've heard me tell about the freezer that was full for a whole year, and I still believe that since that miracle happened, that is still happening as I'm talking to you right now. Truth shall spring out of the earth. Listen, there is going to come the time when the world will try to shut you out completely from having access to what you need to live. At that time, and remember what I said earlier, it is going to be just normal. It's not like, oh, I got to pray. No. Truth shall spring out of the earth. There will be a release of the resources that you need. Because you are in partnership with God. And it's all connected back to being a lover of the house of God. You are going to see manifestations of God's miraculous power. The same one who took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the multitude. The same one that said to the woman whose sons were going to be sold, what do you have in your house? I only have a pot of oil. Go get as many pots as you can get and shut the door. And she started pouring from her one pot, and she filled all the pots because God causes the earth to yield its increase. Hello? So don't live in fear. What shall man be able to do to me? That same God is still with us. He says, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. He says, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. He's going to give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase, because God gives that which is good. Wow. Wait a minute. God is going to give that which is good. Guess what that which is good is? It's not just good stuff. Part of that good is you. The one who's been born from above. Because righteousness, look at verse 11 again. Truth shall spring out of the earth. That's you, the word of God. You are the one that is the manifestation of the truth. You're going to spring out. Why spring out? Because the enemy's been trying to suppress. But suppression is not part of my portion. I will spring forth. And righteousness shall look down from heaven. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. That's interesting. Because the word of God says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if you didn't know it, You are in two realms at the same time. You are in the heavens and you're in the earth. It reminds me, I'm sure I've told you this story before. Many years ago, the Lord opened my eyes and I saw myself and how I was dressed. I was fully armored, really bright, shiny armor. And here was the devil. And he too was very armored, but it was a black armor, but very shiny. Shiny black, not flat. And we're busy fighting. And I'm going like this, and the Lord says to me, says, "What are you doing?" I said, I'm fighting. He says, "Do you know how long you're going to fight? Do you know the devil is going to wear you out?" I said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "Send my word as an evil-seeking missile to dismantle his activities." And as he told me that, I swung this sword and I beheaded this satanic force. And the strangest thing happened. He grabbed his head, headless body, and was walking away and was telling me, "I'm going to come fight you again." I said, "Come again, I'll cut your head off again." And the vision changed and I saw a white python, an albino python. I was standing in this place and this albino python was circling me, limiting me. I couldn't go anywhere. But all of a sudden, I see myself in the heavens. And from the heavens, I shoot. And as I shot, it's like the arrow that I shot hit me. And when it hit me, there was an explosion of flesh all over the place. And I screamed where I was in the heavens, "Oh, I just killed myself," I said. But I looked, I was still intact. But the python was what got blown up. I said, "Lord, what was that?" He said, "You are the same material as that which you shot with. And therefore, it cannot kill you." It was a shaft of light, laser, shot. And I was the same material as that. Well, the fact is that you are in the heavens and in the earth at the same time. And whatever, are you ready for this? When you are planted with him, and mercy and truth are working together in allegiance with you and have kissed each other. When you declare judgment, the judgment does not come on you. It comes on the enemy that has been coming against you. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to get to us today?" I'm trying to get to you one single thought. You need to have a love for the house of God and be part of the assembly of God. Because God assembles you and has a particular place for every one of us. And when we crave and desire that, we get planted. And from that place of your planting, God is going to cause things to fall in proper order for you. The worst thing for believers to do in this last of the last days is not to be sold out to the vision of God, to his purpose, to his heartbeat. Don't let anything deter you from that. Praise the Lord. Allow yourself to be assembled to the glory of God. Hebrews 10. Beginning to read from verse 24. He says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We need to provoke each other. Not forsaken, says. Not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. What's that? It's about the particular giftings that God has for each one of us. And He intends to bring us together and assemble us so that we become a major force that the enemy cannot stop. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. What are we supposed to do? But exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for, which has no spots, blemish, or wrinkles, is a church that is allowing itself to be assembled together, and through that assembly, we exalt each other, we speak into each other's life, and we nourish each other, and we are pulled together. See this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Actually, let me do Ephesians 4 first. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called," verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Because this is a factor of us being assembled together. We're going to have to forbear each other and do so in love. It says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What is that all about? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. The Word of God says in the place where unity is, that's where God's commanded blessings come. But in the bond of peace says that when we choose to walk in peace with each other, what then happens is that peace becomes a violent force that begins to attack anything that wants to destabilize us internally. So when we embrace peace, whatever lies the enemy is cooking up, we don't buy into, because we are allowing love, forbearing one another. "Brother, you shouldn't have done that, but I love you. Let's go." We're willing to forgive each other. We're allowing mercy and truth to come together. Amen? He says, the reason we need to do this is there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, watch this, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Do you know what he just said? If he is above all and he's through all, If I had a bead, you will understand. You know, when you have beads, you tread them. Right? Okay? God is above all and is through all. So he's making something out of this. And then he says, and in you all. So if he's in us all, and he's through us all, and he's above all, meaning, oh my Lord. John 3 says that that which is born from above is above all. In other words, God is given to us. He's imputing unto us his righteousness, and he's imputing unto us his character. And he's saying, just like I am above all, I who birth you am making you to be above all. And if you're above all, then you don't have time wasting in distractions, picking up all kinds. You know, so many people spend so much time squabbling about things that don't really matter. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. You're not going above that particular situation and exercising the forbearance of God. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that we are going to have to walk in a dramatic, drastic, explosive expression of love one for the other. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, it's only going to work in the atmosphere of love. And in the atmosphere of love, there's no competition. We're not competing against each other. We're not trying to show off somebody else and pull somebody else and be crabby. We just want to celebrate each other. It's a powerful thing. Celebrating each other and what God has for each one. Pursuing the purposes of God and making certain that we are not doing anything that will jeopardize the purpose of God in our lives. He is in you. He is in me. He is in us. And he's through us all. Let's take it up to verse 14. Watch this. When we are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, then we are not subject to being tossed to and fro. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. 15. But speaking the truth in love, we speak the truth in love, may grow up into him. We're growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're growing up, watch this, we're growing up into him. In other words, we're growing up to become part of his fullness. In our natural mindset, we don't see that reality. We think that's impossible. But God says, when you're grounded and rooted in his word, when you allow yourself to be assembled, this is what's going to happen. You're going to grow up in him, into Christ. There's no disconnect. Hallelujah. No disconnect. We are connected to him, and he's connected to us, and we are representing him. Let's go on. Verse 16. From whom? This one that we've grown up into. He says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. We are fitly joined together. That's another word for partnering, together with him and with each other. We are fitly joined together and compacted. I like this word. And compacted by that which every joint supplied. This is what happens. Every joint supplying causes us to be compacted. Now, what is that? It is this. When we get hooked up to the Lord and to each other, love pulls us together closer and closer and closer until we become solid. That's when you give your all and I give my all. When I bring what God has given to me to the table, it's supposed to pull us together. When you're compacting something, you are pounding it down, right? But this compartment is a pulling closer. Love pulls us closer, become tighter. And it's happening by that which every joint supplied. According to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, in the measure of every part, make it increase. That's that word again. Make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. The body edifies itself in love. Oh, I thought God was going to come edify us. No, God expects us to be so connected that we act the way he acts. And we build ourselves up in love. Next statement goes like this. 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. But we do something different. Having the understanding darkened. That's not our portion. When you have the vanity of your mind, you're not following through with the ways of God. He says the understanding then is darkened and being alienated. When that means that you are separated from. What God wants us to be is to be drawn closer. But the devil's agenda is to alienate us. So we are dwelling on separating ourselves. I don't believe in that. I like this person better than that person. No. 1 Corinthians 12 is going to tell us that we are not all going to be prophets, and we are not all going to be teachers, we're not all going to be this and so on and so forth, but we all have particular individual giftings in God. God has a particular gift in you, and we need to see your gift by you bringing it forth and drawing people into that flow so that we are all pulled together and we're getting stronger and much more efficient in purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope you get in this. The God of this world blinds people, causes them to be ignorant, blinding their hearts. But that's not what God wants for you and I. He wants us to be assembled together, the assembly of the saints. Now, what is this assembling of the saints? Well, let me put it this way. When my children were growing up, we'll buy them different things, and in the box, it might say something like, needs to be assembled. And in that assembling, You bring the components together and attach them. That's exactly what God wants to do. He has given every one of us a particular aspect. And he's wanting us to bring that into the house. Can you imagine if everybody in this house brought what God has blessed them with to the table? What an incredible powerhouse we will be as believers. What happens many times? People want to watch others do something while they spectate. God has not called any one of us to be spectators. He's called us to be part. And I'm believing that in this year, that there will be a display of unity, oneness, a display of the giftings of every single one in ways that will cause glory to be made manifest in an amazing way. Hallelujah. Let me leave Ephesians a little bit and go to 1 Corinthians 12 as I wrap up. Do read the chapter, Ephesians 4, and see all that is available to us there. 1 Corinthians 12, I'll take it off from verse 13. Paul talks about spiritual gifts, what is available to us, what we need to do. And he's going to tell us at the conclusion of this chapter what the best way to get all of these giftings is. And it boils down to the same one thing. Anyway, taking us from verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." We're not one member, but we are many. He says, "If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" In other words, when you say, "I'm not part of the body," does that make you automatically not part of the body? And the word of God is saying, not so. And he says, "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body?" What is the point? Well, I can't preach. Does that mean that you're not part of the body? I can't prophesy, but does that mean that you're not part of the body? There is something that you've got that I don't have. And the body of Christ is challenged basically because of what each one of us is not bringing to the table. If the whole body were an eye, well, because that's what we want. We want, let's say, the eye in this particular case is, we want healing ministry. It says, if we all just have that, where is he hearing? In essence, we cannot all be healers or prophets or whatever. There is something God called you to do. And stop being envious of what the other person is doing. I wish I had that. Stop wishing. You don't know what the cost of that is. Just be who God called you to be. Now, I'm not saying that there's no promotion in God. God promotes people. God can change your portfolio, but you have to be faithful in the little. And God is calling every one of us to find out what part we are called to play, from the very youngest to the oldest. There are going to be children that are going to prophesy. Yeah, I see this vision, and I remember when I got saved. Actually, this was before I came to the Lord fully. When I was younger, I suppose I might have been about 11 or 12, God opening my eyes and I'll see things. It was a marking of where God was going to take me to. I had not given my life completely to the Lord in the sense that I stayed faithful. I loved God and all of that, but I was going to fall away when I went to high school or whatever, and then came back to the Lord. But those very early days, God was still able to use me as a young person. And I see the same thing happening in our days. God is going to use a lot of young kids to speak prophetically into lives. Let's get ready. He says, for the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? You need to smell too. It's not just hearing and seeing. There's a smell also. But now had God set the members, but now had God set the members, every one of them in the body as it had pleased him. As it pleased him, he set us in the body. So accept your calling and do what God is saying. Amen? He says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? We're not all the same, but we are all planted together to service each other. I must be the best minister or teacher of the Word of God, presenting the Word of God to you. Best, not in relationship to somebody else, but best in relationship to me. Praise the Lord. I have to be the best me for you. And you need to be the best you for me. Praise God. Let me wrap this up and then we'll pray. It says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. It's one body, but many members. Just like your car has, you have one car, and you have four wheels, you have a windshield, you have your engine, you have your batteries, you have whatever. Different members, but functioning together, and you have your car that is moving. Same thing here. Everyone has something that God has given to them for the greater purposes. He says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. We don't need this. We don't need that. No, no, no. You need each other. We need each other. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I think the point is made. The point is this. God wants us to be an assembly. And as an assembly, we have particular things to bring to the table. And not everything that we bring to the table is necessarily so-called spiritual. Somebody's gifting might be that of an administrator. Somebody's gifting might be that of giving. Somebody's ministry might be one that is just exhorts people. One who comes alongside and helps people that are struggling stand. Whatever your gift is, you need to use in the body. Use it. When I think about what we do here, there's so much that happens in a service that I know nothing about. I do my part. The camera people are doing their part. Those on the soundboard are doing their part. Those controlling the broadcasts online are doing their part. Everybody's doing, there's so many people involved in one service. And if any one of those people are not in their post doing their thing, the broadcast becomes a mess. It's just the way it is. But when everybody's doing their part and honing in on their giftings and improving themselves, things get better and better. And God is calling us to that. He's calling us to partner with Him and with each other. Partnering with each other is also partnering with God. So what do you mean that means partnering with God also? Well, did God create you in His image and likeness? He did? Okay. So if He created us in His image and likeness, then when we partner with each other, we're partnering with God. Rise with me. I want you to talk to the Father right now. He says He sets people in His house. I want you to talk to the Father right now and say, God, I want you to reveal to me what my assignment is, what my role is as part of the body, what I'm supposed to bring to this body. Talk to Him about that. Once upon a time, I lived in Nigeria. I was called to ministry in Nigeria, but my field of assignment was here in Canada. And even though I lived in the States for a while, God's assignment was Canada. And I came to Canada. And I've been playing my part in the mix of things to do my part. God brought you from the Ukraine. God brought you from Poland. Some from Germany, some from Nigeria, just like I came from Nigeria. Some were born Canadians, some are Native American or Native Canadians. But every one of us were brought here. And we need to find out why, God, You brought me here. I said this few days back. There are two important days in a man's life. The day that he was born and the day that he finds out his purpose. your purpose in knowing what God called you to do. If you're part of this ministry, why did God bring you here? You need to fulfill that. I am certain it's not so that you just won some seat. No, He called you here for a reason. We need to find out that reason. And we need to pray the blessings of God to propel you into that reason so that the earth yields its increase. Amen? Talk to the Lord right now. Just talk to Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. You're knowing your purpose, your assignment is a key factor for your protection from evil. Being part of the house of God, pursuing after the things of God, protects you from a lot of harm. Ask God, while you're asking God about that, ask Him to do this. Ask Him to help you fulfill your divine mandate. It's one thing to know what God is calling you to do. It's another thing to pursue it and see the manifestation of it. Lord God Almighty, we are asking for an outpouring. We are asking for an outpouring, an outpouring, an outpouring. Lord, O God, that You, the builder of Your church, Lord, O God, that You move sons and daughters into their rightful place. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people that You are moving from different nations and different other communities, and You are bringing them, O God, to be active participants in Your greater purpose in this house. Ask, O God, that You will do extraordinary things, that there will be a birthing of an awareness, a knowing, O Father, in the name of Jesus, in knowing that, Lord, O God, that You have called, that You have assigned, that You have established. And Lord, O God, as each one, O God, releases that which You have given to them, may Your body be drawn closer and closer together, tightly knit together. O precious Father, we trust Your word. We trust Your word. We trust Your word. Builder of the church, build Your church. The church that the gates of hell cannot prevail over. Build Your church, Father. Build Your church. Oh God, the church that is aware of who You are, the Christ, Son of the living God. Oh Father, build Your church. Cause Your people to be very aware of who You are and what You want done. Lord, we seek You with all of our hearts, worshiping You in spirit and in truth. Blessed be Your holy name, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Rabo shande lebroko sekete lamaka. Rikata tabashinde lebroko sekia. In the mighty name of Jesus. We give You praise. We give You praise, Father. We give You praise. Lord, O God, we want to be men and women of vision, men and women of purpose, men and women, O God, driven by the leadings and guidance of Your Holy Spirit. O Father, in the name of Jesus, extraordinary things, O God, do with Your people now, in the mighty name of Jesus. We trust, O God, in You. Build of the church, build Your church. Build us up by Your Spirit. Help us, O God, to build up each other by love, Your love. We receive the grace of your loving kindness and your tender mercies right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us pray for the glory of God to rest upon our land, our physical body as land, our church as land, our community as land, so that the earth will yield its increase. Let the glory of God activate manifold blessings in the lives of his people right now, in the name of Jesus. Let's talk to God. Manifest your glory. Let your glory come upon your church. Let it come upon our nation. Let it come, Lord of God, so that the earth yields its increase. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God who manifests his good, and because good is released, Lord of God, the earth, the land yields its increase. Father, we thank you, Lord of God, that that glory, that goodness is in us, for that which is born of God is above all. And your word says, O God, that every good and every perfect gift proceeds from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Lord, O God, make your people the manifestation of that good. Lord, O God, so that wherever we go, the earth yields its increase. The earth yields its increase. Father, we demand, O God, that the earth yields her increase to us as individuals, yield it to us as your church. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, O God, that your power is made available right now. And Lord, O God, that lives are being transformed, minds are being renewed. Lord, your favor is upon your people. And Lord, O God, in Jesus' name, grace is sufficient. And Lord, O God, we walk, O God, in that increase. Thank you, Father, O God, that the increase that you are releasing in us and through us is drowning out every attempt of the enemy. Oh, Father, blessed be your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are so blessed with the fullness that even though you had a treasurer that was a thief, you lacked nothing. No matter how much Judas stole, you had more than enough. So let it be unto your people now. Thank you, Lord, O God, that we are in that grace, Lord, O God, that's able to get the gold out of the mouth of the fish, because there's no limit, no limitations to your provisions. Blessed be your holy name, Father. We give you praise. Earth, yield your increase to us now. Earth, yield your increase now. Earth, yield your increase now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Finally, let us pray. God, assemble us. Put us together. Put us together. With the bond of peace, put us together. With the edifying grace of love, put us together. Assemble us. Assemble us. Assemble us. Assemble your church. And Lord, O God, cause your church not to disregard this assembling together. Hallelujah. Pray, pray. Father, thank you, Lord, O God, that your church is assembled. It's put together, fit together, neatly put together. Lord, O God, we are glued together by the bond of peace. Hallelujah. Not corruptible. Love flows in your church, in your body. This love is flowing in marriages. It's flowing in departments. It's flowing in our community. It's flowing in our church. Lord, oh God, we assemble together. We're a team. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, for the grace of teamwork. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of teamwork. Lord, oh God, we are working as one people under your lordship. You are God above all, through all, and in us all. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, oh God, that truth is connecting every one of us right now. Your truth is connecting every one of us. And there is an outpouring of love one for the other that is indescribable. It is because it is the anointing of love, the anointing of our Father, the glory of our Father, the glory of love. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that this church, your church, is glorified in your love. Father, oh God, that we just outdo each other in loving each other. And by so doing, Lord, oh God, we are being edified, we're being built up. And the world will fear you. And people will bow before you, declaring that you, oh God, are in the midst of your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. This time, part of our assembling together is the assembly in recognizing that the house of God is a house of sacrifice. One of the key reasons why the temple, the church, is here is that it's supposed to be the place of sacrifice. Sacrifice. So today, I want to encourage you to just honor God with your sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's get our sacrifice ready. I'll read you 2 Chronicles, chapter 7 and verse 12, just to drive that point home. So as you bring your sacrificial giving today, know that you are connecting with God. He says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. God has chosen this place to himself for a house of sacrifice. And so when you bring your sacrifice, you are joining and coming to that place of the establishment of the covenant of God. Come, honor God with your giving. Those of you online, please do the same. Anytime you hear the word of the Lord, honor him with your sacrificial giving. Amen, and he'll bless you for it. If you need communion elements and you don't have one, just raise your hand and they'll get that to you. Anybody needs communion element? There's one hand over there. We're going to have a great man of God speak to us tomorrow. I'm looking forward to the ministry. of this dear man of God. He has accomplished much in the kingdom. And it's my honor to be able to introduce him to you tomorrow. I have traveled much with this man of God around the world. And he's a man whose heart beats for the Father. And we're going to be greatly blessed by his ministry. Well, this is the body of the Lord. As you take of this body, remember that his body was broken so that we can be put together. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the day that this was instituted, we are the church today. He was putting a death nail on the enemy. Because it didn't matter what Judas was going to do. He said, I lay my life down and I take it back up. The devil does not have a word about this. I make the decisions here. And so shall it be that you and I will experience the wholeness of God in every area. Take of this body and eat. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Today, as you take of this cup, let it impact every area of your life, your family, your calling and ministry, your relationships, your finances, your children, your marriage. Let the glory of God be manifested. And may he put us together by his grace. Take and drink. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. It's good to have you here tonight. I know I was very low key, but that's good. That's when you really need to listen. So let God's grace rest upon every aspect of your life today. And remember, keep loving each other. And give no room to the devil. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. Good night, those of you on YouTube.